We're starting, we read actually by Mincha, Mishpotim, Parshas Mishpotim. Parshas Mishpotim is really the beginning of the Mishpatei HaTorah. From Parshas Mishpotim on, throughout the Torah, are the most of the Mitzvahs HaTorah. You know, Mitzaseh, Mitzvahs Lo Yisaseh, that's really where it begins. There's some Mitzvahs that we had previously. There's Bris Milah, there's a few others, but if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, most, and those few that have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, not so many, there's many, but it's comparatively, the vast majority of the mitzvahs begin in Parshas Mishpatim. And I would like to make the following comment. The Pasuk doesn't say, Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lefnehem. That's not what the Pasuk says. These are the mishpotim that you should place in front of them. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem." To the best of my recollection, from Mincha this afternoon, and we could just check it out to be sure. Here's a chumash. It says, "One second." It says, "Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem." Now, Avav is Avav HaChibur. Avav connects this with the previous. Okay, I would like to suggest that there are a number of basic concepts in the previous that we cannot fully appreciate Ve'ele HaMishpotim unless we connect the... Besides that, unless we connect the Mishpotim with the previous. And I'd like to suggest that the highlighted previous parashas are as follows. Briyas Ha'olam, Bereishis Bara Elokim, right? That's in Parashas Bereishis, very critical. The Maaseh Ha'avos, which is most of Sefer Bereishis, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, the Shivtei Kor, Yosef, and so forth, which is mamish, the yesod of all of the midos of Klal Yisrael. We see the beginnings of the Chesed of Avrom and the Emes of Yaakov and the Avoida of Yitzchok, Pachad Yitzchok, and these are the values that we base our lives on. So that's Briyas Ha'olam, Maaseh Avos, Yetzias Mitzrayim, what happened in Mitzrayim, the Nisim v'Niflois that the Klal Yisrael witnessed in Mitzrayim, mamish, the complete upheaval of the laws of nature, to the extent that the Ramban says that was really the first eyewitness to creation. Because creation, there was no eyewitness, because Adam HaRishon was created at the end of creation. So the eyewitnesses in Mitzrayim, they saw the Creator in full glory, in full action, predicting an event to take place, a mapecha, an upheaval of the laws of nature, and it taking place, predicting its end, and it end exactly on time and precision and with full detail. And they saw mamish the Bo'er Olam. And then, which is the one that Chazal connected to, but I believe the connection really is critical all the way through, although this is the very specific one, and that is Maimon Har Sinai. That's why we just read Shabbos, Maimon Har Sinai. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself publicly in front of the entire nation, millions of people. The Torah makes a cheshbon, 613 men between the age of 20 and 60, women, mastama, a similar amount, older people, younger people, talking about 2-3 million people probably, but significant numbers. And they all witnessed the miracles of Mitzrayim. Mamish, they drank from the same cup as a Mitzri. They drank water and he drank blood. They stood in the same room as a Mitzri. He was frozen in a pillar of darkness, and they were casing the joint to see what he has walking around like Hudi Moisa Oiro. Nisim Gluyim. So they experienced these things. Then they came to Har Sinai, and Hashem revealed himself, spoke publicly to them, identified himself. Now I'm going to tell you the purpose for it. These are the mitzvahs. This is what I want you to do. Gave Aser Sadibras, including Aser Sadibras, all the mitzvahs. That's the event of the most important event in all of human history. Creation was not an event. Creation was, but the most important event is the Bo'er Olam revealing the purpose for which he created the world. And not only did he do that, but he made sure that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is his Novi, because he appointed Moshe Rabbeinu publicly in the earshot of the whole nation. So everybody knew that Moshe Rabbeinu, what he teaches, is the Teres Hashem. Hashem has endorsed, has signed off on him, has appointed him as his spokesman, as his teacher, as his Novi. Okay, these events now, we come to Ve'ele HaMishpotim. The Vav HaChibur, and I would want to suggest, a little homiletically maybe, that Vav HaChibur goes on connecting everything in the past. Everything from the past. So we have to know, in order to appreciate the Mishpatei HaTorah, we have to know Maaseh Bereishis, creation. We have to know Maaseh Ovos, the Midos of the Ovos. We have to know the Nisim of Mitzrayim. And we have to know about Kabbalah HaTorah. Okay. So now you would say, okay, we know about it. We just read it first. We read Bereishis after Simchas Torah. Then we read, the Parsha Sa'ovah, starting with Lech Lecho, and Vayera, Chayisoro, and Toildois, and so forth and so on. So we read about the Ovos. Then we came to Shmois. We read about the Shibut Mitzrayim and the Nisim Gluyim that happened to take us out of Mitzrayim. And then we finally, after a few Parshas, we came to Parshas Yisroel. We read about Maimon Har Sinai. Now we're ready for the Ve'ele HaMishpotim. The Vav HaChibur is in place. We're ready for Ve'ele HaMishpotim. But unfortunately, my experience with people who know about all these Parshas, who read the Parshas, who studied them in Cheder, who maybe studied them again when they got a little bit older, again, Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Ovos and Maaseh Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Kabbalah HaTorah. But the Maaseh, they don't feel that they developed a mature understanding of them. They were more like, forgive me almost, Bible stories. There was creation, and then there's all the others, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and the so forth, and then the Mitzrayim, and yeah, there was miracles, and there, okay, very nice. And then Maimon Har Sinai, we came to Har Sinai, Kabbalah HaTorah. But most people feel it's a very shallow understanding that they have. I've discovered, and this is really why I really think this message is important, I've discovered that there are many people that are so confused about these basic concepts that when they get to Ve'ele HaMishpotim, they become so overwhelmed with the responsibilities without having a sense of context, of understanding creation and a purpose for creation, the Ovos and how they lived their lives and perfected themselves. Yetzias Mitzrayim, with seeing Hashem in all of his creative and glorious koiches and hashgocha protis and nisim gluyim, and then Maimon Har Sinai as a solid foundation upon which to build the Ve'ele HaMishpotim. And therefore, I would like to go into those basic concepts just a little bit more, and hopefully to stimulate an interest that people should realize that many, 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 and the numbers just that I deal with who come to me are reflective of how large the numbers must be out there. Many people just feel that the burdens of the Mishpatei HaTorah are so overwhelming that without the context, it just overwhelms them. But before I do that, I'd like to say something else about Mishpatei HaTorah. There's a very strange posuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. The Torah says, speaking about the Torah itself, says, Ki chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei kol ha'amim. This is your wisdom in the eyes of the nations. Asher yishmu unes kol ha'chukim ha'ele, when they hear all of these chukim, the chukim ha'Torah, they'll say, Rakam novim v'chochem ha'goy ha'god la'zeh. Ah, these Jews, they must be very smart people. Rakam novim v'chochem ha'goy ha'god la'zeh. This great nation, the Jewish nation, they must be very smart. And Rabbeinu Bechaya asks a question. He says, when they hear the chukim, it says, Asher yishmu'un es kol ha'chukim. What are chukim? Chukim are the mitzvahs that we don't necessarily know the reason for, right? Also the reason Rashi brings all the time from Chazal that the Umos Olam laugh at the Chukim. They say, Chukim, why do you do this? Shatnes. Why do you have Porah Duma? Why? And they laugh. So when they hear the Chukim, they're going to say, wow, what a smart nation. They hear the Chukim, that's what they laugh. What's he talking about? What's the Torah talking about? So Rabbeinu Chaya says like this. First they'll hear the Mishpatei HaTorah, the Mishpotim. They're so beautiful. They're so sublimely beautiful. They're so sensitive. They create a whole new level of human sensitivity and human existence. And they will be so awed with the Mishpatei HaTorah that they will say, Chukim, that don't make any sense. It must be that this smart nation can understand the Chukim too. Goya Shekop can't understand the Chukim, but they must have. The wisdom, the Mishpatei HaTorah are so attractive, are so sensitive, are so beautiful, are so uplifting, are so inspiring, that when they hear the Mishpatim, they'll say, the Chukim? Yeah, we were laughing about it, but you know something? They must know what they're talking about, because these Chukim overwhelm them with their beauty. So the Mishpatei HaTorah can have, in and of themselves, to a goy who has no background, who doesn't have the parshios, maybe, I don't know, maybe not, now that they translated our Tanakh, maybe they have it in their Bible, but he doesn't have that context. But the Mishpatei HaTorah, but the problem is this, that the Mishpatei HaTorah, when the Yetzirah gets a hold of us, and the Yetzirah tries to focus us not on the beauty of the Mishpatim, which can be overwhelming. When you see them, a person could just jump out of his skin and say, hey, this is not Shaykh. In fact, the Mishpatei HaTorah really testify to the fact that this is the Torah Hashem. Because no human being could come up with such deep insight and sensitivity and concern of it on the Chaveroi and Midas and this. But the Yetzirah comes and says, let's not look at that part. Let's look at the burden. Oy, 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 it's so heavy. I got to get out of bed early in the morning by a certain time. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do the other thing. 613 got to do's and got to not do's. That's a lot of do's and no do's. You know, you have to pay heavy dues to get into this organization, to get into this club. And that's something that overwhelms people. And the Yetzirah focuses them on that and not on the beauty. So therefore, I think, since the Yetzirah does that, that besides, and not as a substitute, but besides emphasizing the sublime beauty of the Mishpatei HaTorah, with the sensitivity, where do you find in the annals of human thinking that there should be a parasha of Lashon Hara? Do you know what the parasha of Lashon Hara says? You can't speak. You can't even listen. You cannot believe if you had to listen. Unless it's a Toelis, then you can only listen and be choishish and not believe. But besides all that, there's an asay and a lav, tmidim, that you have to be thinking about 24-7. Don't anybody, you know, explode. But 24-7, Zohar es asheros Hashem elkech le Miriam. Why do we have to constantly think about Miriam's episode in order not to come to speak Lashon Hara? He shomer minega hatzoras. It's guard yourself from tzoras. Means don't come to get this tzoras. What do you get tzoras for? Lashon Hara. And that is he shomer. When does he shomer mean? All the time. So there's a mitzvah saseh of zohar and a loy saseh of he shomer that's considered like a lav. At 24-7, we have to be focused and thinking not to speak Lashon Hara. Rabbeinu Shalom. Isn't it enough that you told us not to speak Lashon Hara? Isn't it enough that you told us not to listen to Lashon Hara? Isn't it enough that you told us not to believe Lashon Hara? No. You know how far it goes? You got to be on your... Now, that doesn't mean you can't do anything else during the day. But it's sort of part of your subconscious being remembering Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. Look what happened to Miriam. He's shomer negat tzoras. Tzoras brings... Lashon Hara brings tzoras. Be careful, be careful. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't speak all day. There's like a little voice in the back of your brain telling your cousin, remember Miriam, don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't come to tzoras. Remember Miriam, don't come to tzoras. There's such sensitivity. Anyone hears that? Only the Rabbeinu Shalom can develop such sensitivities. Only the Rabbeinu Shalom can say that if, in fact, you tell someone who had some hanging in his family, and you say to him, please hang up this fish, hang up my coat. Oh no, that's Oinoas Dvorim. That's causing pain. That's a breach of shalom. You're causing friction. Why? Because you mentioned a word which to this person conjures up a memory, maybe even subconscious, of an event that took place in his family. Doesn't mean it took place yesterday. Could have taken place 2 generations ago. I know my great-grandfather was hanged. No, it's not true. But anyway, so that kind of a sensitivity, that can, can't mention the word. And we can go on and on. Do you know the Gemara says that if someone says good morning and you don't respond, it's begedel signoif. It's like you're stealing. You owe me a response. I said to you hello. You can't answer me? That's that. These concepts are not. If a person embarrasses a person, it's as if he killed him. It's like these concepts are so sublime. They're so sensitive. They're so deep. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu could come up with this. And it's so such a it creates such a desire to do the mitzvahs. But I don't really know how all the mitzvahs bring to this. I don't really know why Hashem created the world. I don't really understand Hashem. I don't really understand what happened in Mitzrayim. I don't really understand what happened in Har Sinai. I have a little vague idea, you know, maybe a juvenile level idea. Then all of this together is still not enough to speak to the Yetzer Hara and to tell him, leave me alone. Chepetz Achot, go bother somebody else. I'm going to dedicate my life to doing the mitzvahs. Therefore, I would like to go through, just very briefly, this background of perspective. Briyas Ha'olam, just very, very briefly, Maise Ovois, Mitzrayim, and Kabbalah Satira. It just should take a few moments, but I would like to do that, and then I think this should be a context for how we present and how we educate and how we inspire people to dedicate their lives to the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The beauty of the mitzvahs are the ultimate statement of their worth, of their truth, of their value. But sometimes that's not enough. And many people, especially when they're not getting the fullest insights into the beauty of the mitzvahs, which really we should bolster our educational system to give them more and more and more. I'll give you an example. I'm sorry, I get carried away. I said I'll finish quickly, but forgive me for a moment. Yeah, I'll give you an example. There's a bizarre Mishnah that I don't know how anyone could understand what this Mishnah says until the Alter from Slabodka came along and set up shop in the Mishnah. Very strange. The Mishnah says, "Haseches apoyalim." If you hire workers, day workers to work, I'm paying you $10 a day to paint my house. Fine. And you include mezonos, food is included. Okay, the meals included. Okay, fine. So you're getting $10 a day and meals. No matter what you give him, you won't fulfill your contractual obligation to give him meals. The Mishnah says, even if you give him kesuda shlema b'shaitoi. Suda shlema b'shaitoi was not shaykh what shlema hamelech suda was. It wasn't a 7-course dinner. Maybe it was a 70-course dinner. Nothing like it. And even if you'll give him that, you didn't fulfill your responsibility to Hashem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Because they're descendants of royalty. What? This poor guy. He's working for $10 a day, and you include meals, and you include a 7-course dinner, or you include a suda shlema b'shaita. You didn't satisfy your contract because you said mezonos. And the Mishnah says, you have to specify the menu. He says, almanas, you're only getting pasuk kitnius. You're going to get bread and beans. Okay, so then I fulfill my contractual obligation because we said bread and beans. What's going on over here? So Alter says like this. Hashem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov must mean that subconsciously they're descendants of royalty. And they are selling themselves, giving themselves to pay $10 a day to paint your house. There's some pain there. And when you say mezonos, their royalty, their subconscious memory of the royalty is needs more than anything you can give them. You can't satisfy a non-definitive requirement. Because mezonos, no matter what you give me, you're not going to satisfy me. Because I'm royalty and I'm doing menial labor. So therefore, you have to spell out the feirish. This is the menu. Mimela, then you satisfy your responsibility. And so what he points out from here, the Torah's obligation of a contractual obligation is to satisfy when it's vague, when it's not specific, to satisfy the subconscious need of the person too. Not just the conscious, but the subconscious need of the person too. Ribbono shel Olam, would you ever hear such a concept in your lives? If you make a contract with someone, you hear? I make a contract with you. And I say, you know, we're going to do this and this and this. I have to satisfy not only your intentional, the conscious, the focus, but the subconscious need. And therefore, I have to specify this is what it is. So that's the contract. These concepts are so beyond what any human being can think. They're so powerful. But it seems to me that unfortunately, number one, we're not teaching enough of these beautiful depth of concepts. We're sort of presenting things in a very, you know, superficial way. And even these concepts, it seems, need this context. So let's go into context, okay? So context, very simple, creation. A person has to know why Hashem created the world. If you don't know why Hashem created the world, then what are you doing here? It's a very complex issue. I'm here in this world, I'm living my life, and especially when we know that the definition of happiness is osher, and the shirish of the word is validation, ishur, so I have to feel good about myself to be happy. To feel good about myself, I don't know the purpose I was put here, then how can I feel good about myself? I have no purpose. Imagine going into a psychologist and saying, hey, doc, I got no purpose in living. He should order a suicide watch because there's no purpose. Like, what am I doing? Purpose, creation. There was a creation. Good news, there's a purpose. But you know something? You got to know what the purpose is too. If we don't know what the purpose is, now, for years the world got along just knowing there was a purpose. And they went and they tried and they searched. Klal Yisrael, of course, had the purpose revealed to us at Har Sinai. But others, they searched, they tried, they checked here, they looked there, they went here, they went there, they went on this mountain, they went to this place, they went to here, they went to, oh no, searching all over and trying to find a purpose. But at least they knew there was a purpose because they knew there had to be a creator. Comes along somebody whose name I will not mention. Comes along someone and says, you know something, guys, we're all here by accidents. I mean, forgive me for oversimplifying the theory, but we're here by accident. Oh, accident? No purpose. That's the definition. Look up in Merriam-Webster. If an accident means a purposeless act. Oh, there's no purpose. Well, if there's no purpose, then my life is miserable. So I must know there was a creation, and I must know that Creator created the world for a purpose. What was the purpose? So Chazal tell us. They quote the Pasuk in Tilim, Dabar HaMelech, Oilam Chesed Yibonet. Hashem's purpose in creating was only to do chesed. Only to be able to bestow upon us endless chesed. Endless chesed, and this is a very important nekuda in this world, because we see that. We see that happen in the lives of the Ovos. Avraham Avinu was a very rich man. They had a lot of wonderful things that they had, that they did. And in this world, the Torah says, "Vohem shmoa tishmu." What's going to happen? Venos satim etar arzuchem beita yere malkush vasafted godech vasiroshcha v'yitzorecho. There's going to be reward, and certainly in the eternal world. Imagine the difference between temporary pleasure and eternal pleasure, eternal, forever and ever and ever. We have no idea of an eternal pleasure. You know why? Because as soon as we have a pleasure, it disappears. It's over. So we don't know what it means. But think about it. Take any pleasure and multiply it by infinity. A pleasure multiplied by infinity. You know what that means? This is only to do chesed. And the ultimate chesed, after everything is said and done, is the connection between my neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That dveikus b'Hashem, because when I'm close to Hashem, my life in this world is different, my life eternally is different. You know, when in relationships in this world, relationships make people feel good. You have friends, it feels good to have a friend. If you don't have a friend, you don't feel good. A person has a spouse, you have a wife, a husband, makes you feel good. Relationships. But you know something? All relationships come to an end. No relationship exists forever, except the relationship between my neshama, between my soul and its creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I am engaged now in a permanent relationship. Wow. A relationship close, intimate, loving, caring, dedicated, devoted, reliable. I count on him for everything. And my relationship is with the one who's capable of doing anything and everything and is molei chesed v'rachamim and loves me intensely and wants to give me every possible thing that he can give me in this world and in the next. And his chesed was so that he made a system where I have to earn it and deserve it. You know why? Because if I didn't earn it and deserve it, it wouldn't mean anything to me. That's what we call nama de kisufa. I didn't earn it. It's called the bread of embarrassment. What's the highest form of giving tzedakah? Giving a person a job. Because then he earns it. He's not taking anything from you. He doesn't feel beholden to you. He feels it's his. He feels ownership. He feels good about it. He's not embarrassed. Okay. So here, because I have a responsibility to this thing, to this guy. Anyway, like this. So he feels, this is mine. I deserve it. So mishpat, that we have to earn it, is the greatest chesed. Because then we can appreciate it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with mishpat. But Rashi says, he included in that mishpat rachamim. In fact, Rashi's solution is hikdim midas rachamim midas adin. He even made it like a dominant partner, and that's the way he conducts his world. So Hashem created the world just to do chesed, created a system of earning the chesed that he gives us, so that we'll truly appreciate it, that we deserve it. We're not embarrassed from it. We feel ownership on it, and this is what it's all about. So now we have a world, and we have a purpose of creation. Again, this is very brief, very superficial, but at least giving it some sense of the context. We move on, and we see the Maisa Ovis. They always had connection with Hashem. Avraham Avinu actually discovered Hashem on his own. Actually, Hashem revealed himself to Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon then got sent out of Gan Eden, and the Doiros got less and less, and the world fell apart almost, came to Noach. Noach reconnected things, and he taught his lessons only to his family. The others didn't listen. Then he started the world again. He started the world again, and eventually things got lost until Avraham Avinu came and rediscovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Sholosh Shonim Hikir Es Boiroi. Rambam says he started the process when he was three, and then it expanded as he got older. And now already, there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. And the Ovis understood that they have to model their lives after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Already in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Medrash tells us what's the purpose of the mitzvahs. Imras Hashem Tzrufa, the Pasuk says. So the Medrash says Tzrufa means that they're refined, that they're purified. So he says they're pure. The words of Hashem are pure. So he says Lo nitna hamitzvos ela letzaref benes habriyos. The Ovis discovered that the whole purpose of mitzvahs is to refine human character, and they worked on the refinement of their character. And when we study about the Ovis, we study midos. We study refinement of human character to the highest level. We see an Avraham Avinu who reached the nth degree of chesed. When he was sick 3 days after the Mila, he couldn't take the fact that he had no achnosas orchim, and Hashem made it the sun so hot that nobody would come. And then Hashem saw the tzar that he had, and he reversed it, whatever he must have known before, but the whole pshat over there. But anyway, and orchim have to come. He sent malochim. They thought they were orchim. Because Avraham Avinu can't bear not to do chesed. Is the things that they did, the Ovis, Yitzchok, Yaakov, their madrega, their shlemus and midos. So we're seeing now the purpose of the mitzvahs in the life. We see human beings who molded their lives on the image of Hashem, molded their lives on doing good, molded their lives on the nth degree of human perfection, refined their character, and these are our dugmois, these are our models, these are our the images that we can study from, and now we know this is the way we have to lead our lives. And Chazal tell us this is what it's all about, because it says, Mosai yegiu ma'asai l'machayev odam loymar. Mosai yegiu ma'asai l'masai avoisai Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov. When are my actions going to reach the level of the actions of Avraham Yitzchok and Yaakov? That's really what it's all about. So this is what the Maisa Ovis teaches us. Then Klal Yisrael went to, but still now we're an individual family, a little family, a little broader family, 70 nefoshes. We come down to Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, there was Shibud, which of course had a very strengthening effect on Klal Yisrael. The Tosfos really asked the Kasha, you know, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. If he wouldn't have put us in, he wouldn't have to take us out. So he says, we stem from Terach, and as such, we couldn't be zeiche to all the gifts that Hashem wants to give us. They have some pekam of Avodah Zorah in our genes. Put us in Mitzrayim.
made us suffer, had rachmonis on us, and berachamim, he was able to give us all of those gifts that he couldn't have justified to give us bedin. So that was the shibud. And then we saw the nisim. We saw Hashem in full action for the first time. We did not witness creation, or the Rishon was created at the end, as we mentioned. But we saw the nisim gluyim that took place in Mitzrayim, and recognizing Hashem as the all-powerful, as the controller, as the involved in every little detail, in every minute detail between one person and another. There was no detail too small. There was no minute level of control too small or too insignificant for Hashem. And we see him in his full powers, in his full glory, in his full hashgocha protis and mamish. Now we have a basis to connect with Hashem. We know there was a creation. We know there was a purpose. We know the purpose was refinement of our character. We have dugmois. We have models of the character refinement. We take that to the next step. We come to Mitzrayim. We see Hashem and all of his hashgocha protis and all of his nisim. Now we're ready to come to Har Sinai. Come to Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai, the greatest chesed of all takes place. Why is it the greatest chesed? Because number one, Hashem reveals to us the purpose of creation. We now know what we're here for. This is what you have to do. Before you knew the mitzvahs were for to refine character, we saw that, the Ovos knew that, but that was tradition from the Ovos. We didn't hear it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a chesed. Not only did he speak directly to us, he didn't even let it come with his speech to he appointed Moshe Rabbeinu as the Novi. That should have been enough. Hey, I'm publicly, you are listening to me appointing Moshe Rabbeinu as my spokesman, and he's going to teach you the purpose for creation. Hashem didn't allow that to happen. We mentioned this, the Ralbag says that. Why? He says, because we still would have thought, yeah, I know Moshe is the official spokesman, I know he's the official Novi, he's the official teacher, Hashem appointed him publicly, and we all heard that, but maybe he's making a mistake about something. So Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you directly, so there's no mistake. The Klal Yisroel, millions of eyewitnesses who saw Hashem in his full creative and controlling powers of Mitzrayim, come to Har Sinai, and he says, Shalom Aleichem. Onoichi Hashem Elokecha asher tzisicho be'eretz Mitzrayim mibeis avodim. That's me. Remember the miracles? Remember you saw the Creator in action? I'm the Creator, and now I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why in such a direct way that you hear from me directly, so that you'll have no doubt, so that you have no question, so you have no room for any hesitation, and you'll be able to be motivated and controlling yourself to be able to fulfill the purpose for which I created you, and to be able to achieve the hanoa, the pleasure, the closeness to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fulfillment of the ultimate chesed that I wish to bestow upon mankind. That's what happened in Har Sinai. Now we have Ve'ele HaMishpotim. Now the Vav tells us, with all of this, now we know what it's all about. Now let's get down to the Mishpotim. The Mishpotim are beautiful. The Mishpotim are overwhelming. The Mishpotim are sublime. The Mishpotim are so sensitive, no human being could ever dream of such beautiful, sensitive dealings between Olam HaChaveroi. But now we know where it comes from. We know what its purpose is. We know that this is the purpose for which the world was created. We have examples, living examples of the Ovos, of Dugmois, of where we have to strive to bring ourselves. And we saw Hashem in the fullness of his creative powers. Today we mentioned the Ralbag that says that Yisro wanted to see the fullest extent of Hashem's powers himself firsthand, in order to understand, to appreciate Hashem. Then we come to Har Sinai and we hear him speak directly to us. Now, with this combo, we're ready to say, Ve'ela HaMishpotim Asher Tosim Lefneim. Please, put it in front of us. Let us know what we're doing. Here we are. Naseh V'nishma. Hineni Muchanim Zumon. Lekayim Ol the Mitzvahs.